Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for joining me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been here a while, bless you for that. We thank you very much for your important time, your valuable time, and your attention. And I'm excited about having Wayne Cruz back on the show. I've missed Wayne. He's a great resource and an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, Vice President for Policy and Director of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, an organization I've been introducing you to for a long time. One of the first public policy interviews we did was in the very beginning was with Fred Smith, who's in charge of the CEI folks over there. And Wayne is here to talk to us about cybersecurity. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
It's a real pleasure, Jim. It's real nice to be back. Thanks.
Good
for
to have you
me.
Back. And folks, also, as I mentioned earlier, Wayne's a pretty good guy on the guitar too. We have to get you. You'll have to cut a couple of riffs for our bumper music. Wayne.
One day we might do that.
Hey, Wayne. The president gave his State of the Union speech last night, but there wasn't anything in it about cybersecurity. He did talk a little bit about homeland security.
That's right.
But he didn't say anything. Well, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, this is a little bit of a detail that's probably not as mainstream. It's mainstream in terms of how many people are affected by cybersecurity, or maybe I should say cyber insecurity. But it's not mainstream in people's minds as much, is it?
That's right. It really is not. Basically, last night's address was domestic policy, the first half, and then foreign policy, particularly Iraq, the second half. Homeland security obviously has been a key issue for the last several years. A portion of it is cybersecurity, as you say. That's basically mm-hmm. the security for our computer networks, our financial system, the telecommunications system, a lot of our critical infrastructure that those systems depend on, you know, the electric transmission grid, the communications grid, and so forth. Over the past few years, there have been a big number of cyber attacks, you know, the slammer worm, the so big worm, all of these various viruses that have hit our computer networks that have created an urge to look at cybersecurity. Within the Department of Homeland Security, there now exist offices to deal with cybersecurity. On the Hill, there are constantly hearings on cybersecurity issues. But it's kind of like
there was a guy in charge of that mm-hmm. part as part of the Homeland Security, wasn't there?
Exactly.
He's gone now, though, right?
There was one Amit Yoran, I believe was his name. He mm-hmm. had been head of that. He left. Now, I think there's been a new appointee since, or one is about to be appointed. But that's one of the problems with an issue. How dangerous is the cybersecurity situation? Can real harm be done? Can someone take down the internet for days at a time, or can someone create, an electronic attack and shut down the power grids for a long time? You saw how crazy things can get in the blackouts in the Northeast
right.
a couple of years ago. So that's the question. I mean, there's an office of cybersecurity within Homeland Security, but there's debate over how seriously to take it. Now, then again, you know, you have debates within the Homeland Security Office itself over turf, so it's not surprising. But basically, you have a situation now where some say the threat ranges from cyber terror, and then, of course, it ranges all the way down to the more nuisance things like spam and pop-ups and things like that. You know, there's a whole range of security. And what you see going on the Hill now are hearings.
Let me stop you for a second. Wait.
Yeah.
Don't you think that the average person who gets a pop-up window doesn't realize that they've just experienced cyber insecurity?
I think people feel annoyed.
Is that an overstatement for me to call it that?
Well, I think it sounds fair to me. And basically, it's in a lot of ways,
it's somebody intruding on your desk. When somebody intrudes on your desktop, it's like them coming into your house. It's the electronic equivalent of somebody just coming walking into your house without knocking, isn't it?
Well, it can be. The risk. Here's the thing, Jim. You have what we really want, and you know, just like in the real world, you want relationships to be governed by contract.
Right.
You know? And if you sign up with Symantec or Microsoft or Zone Alarm, and you want them to give constant updates to your computer, you know, without asking you permission each time, the technology that allows pop-ups can be a terrific thing.
Right.
But when other people hijack the technology,
that's the one I'm talking about. And the reason I stopped you and brought that up was I want people to understand that it's happening to them right now. And we all need to be aware of these issues. And we're going to get Wayne to talk to us some more about this. And here's Mr. Robert Cray to take us out.
Baby, I love you. And baby, I need you. All of this thing, baby.
I'm alone.
Little Chicago for you there. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm so happy to be here with you and to be here with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Vice President and Director of Policy of Technology Studies at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Wayne, the reason I stopped you a minute ago was I just wanted to make sure when you and I talk about cybersecurity, that's a pretty intuitive term. But it's not a term that most people think about in their everyday lives, as we alluded to earlier. And so I think maybe when we talk about some of these things, some people think, well, you know, cybersecurity, that's what the big companies have to deal with to keep people out of their databases and so they don't lose their, you know, their customers' names and addresses. But everybody who goes on the Internet faces some element of cyber insecurity virtually every day.
You better believe it is a real risk. There was just a new report from the Federal Trade Commission. The biggest complaint they're getting now is over identity theft. A lot of people are getting now, and I know a lot of your listeners are getting them, you get a notice in your inbox. It looks like it's from PayPal.
Yep.
And it's a perfect recreation of a PayPal email.
Yep.
Then it sends you to a website that looks just like a perfect recreation of
also Microsoft.
Just like PayPal.
There have been some out for Microsoft.
You better
believe it. Some of the national banks.
That's right. And then
it's
you go to
phishing.
That site, and it's called phishing with a PH, and you go to those sites, and you're tricked into putting your information, and then suddenly the identity thieves have got your material, and away they go. You know, luckily you're protected on what you're liable for with a credit card, but still, that's crippling stuff
Let me add an analogy here, folks. Somebody might be thinking, well, whoa, that's a good reason not to go on the Internet. Well, let me ask you, folks, do you still drive a car? You know how many people are killed in automobiles every year, but yet you still drive a car. And yet, Wayne, people are still out there your counterparts in highway safety are out there talking about how to be safer on highways.
That's right. You have
and that's
to
really all
risk.
You're doing.
And it's true. You've got to practice good driving skills on the Internet, too, so to speak. You shouldn't – when you get an email like that – you more than likely the company that you're dealing with does not email you that way. If you ever need to go to PayPal or Microsoft, you can go directly to the site rather than answer a suspicious email. But you see what you have here. You have an Internet where we wonder about the authentication of transactions, and it goes from the pop-ups you're talking about. You know, how do you stop the pop-ups? How do you stop the spam? How do you stop the bad guys from getting into your bank account? How do you stop the bad software that you don't want from being downloaded on your computer? And even issues like copy protection. Mm. You know, the notion of being able to lock up a file and keep the wrong person from opening it. All of these things are rooted in authentication and being able to verify who you're doing your business dealings with online. And so far, we just haven't solved that problem. There were FTC hearings and workshops on authentication in December. And, you know, that's really at the core of cybersecurity, whether it's, you know, major computer attacks where your computer gets taken over and used kind of as a dummy or zombie for
But the big issue that you work on, Wayne, that I'm really mm-hmm. proud of you for, is you're working on making sure that the solutions that we have that allow us to safely and productively navigate cyberspace, the big issue is who is in charge of the gate.
That's right.
And you're saying what you propose and what I agree with you about is let's let the marketplace be the gatekeeper, not the government.
Well, just about, if you know CEI's plate of issues, we work everything from banking to small business regulatory relief to biotech. And what we often try to point out is there's nothing that can be left unregulated, so to speak. You know, there's always a planner and somebody in control. The question is, do you want it to be political institutions or do you want it to be market institutions that do that? You can have competitive discipline in the marketplace that protects consumers from bad actors and things like that. But in the cybersecurity realm, we still do have a long way to go. Now, there are legislative proposals for government to mandate cyber disclosures on business, you know, in other words, kind of like the Sarbanes-Oxley for cyberspace.
Right.
You know,
right.
CEOs would have to certify that their computer systems were secure and couldn't be hacked. Well, they can't really do that, and especially
right.
small businesses can't do that. So those kinds of mandates aren't the answer to the cybersecurity problems we have right now. But those are the kinds of proposals you see, disclosure mandates, software mandates, you know, buying certain kinds of firewalls and things like that.
Give us an idea about how the marketplace is making progress so that we don't have to have the government regulating cybersecurity.
I think there are a lot of ways, Jim. You know, back when we've had earlier talks about spam, you know, there are some solutions that work outright, but they have downsides. You know, we talked about the challenge and response systems for email, whereby nobody could email you until they had entered a password. You know, they did it just one time, and then after that they were free to email you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work in a business environment, but it's a solution. It's a step in the right direction. Similarly, for cybersecurity, the things we learn in protecting ourselves from identity theft, you know, in verifying that we're the person we say we are, and it can range from a lot of things. It could be, you know, biometric card. There are even fingerprint readers now, you know, that mm-hmm. you can hook up to computers or eye scanners and things like that where you can absolutely identify yourself. But
well, they're actually, the new IBM ThinkPads actually have a thumbprint thing on the ThinkPad itself built into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. See, that ThinkPad is a perfect example of this kind of solution. Now, it's not going to be appropriate for everybody, but you see, the things that we learn from IBM's experiment are going to be useful in other areas, too. In other words, the things we learn from financial security online will help us in authenticating email transactions, you know, mm-hmm. to help with the spam problem. The things we learn will also help us with authentication for, say, music or movie files.
Right.
Is the right person opening the files and it's not being opened by a bootlegger? So there's a lot to learn, and there's no silver bullet solution from government.
Stand by, Wayne. We'll take a quick break. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7:10. A little more Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Wayne Cruz is our guest. Wayne, give us tell us about the Competitive Enterprise Institute's website.
We just had our 20th anniversary. We're coming up on our 21st anniversary. We're going to be legal. We're going to have a new celebratory dinner. We just you can go to our website at CEI.org, and I encourage you to. We just redesigned it, and I think it looks absolutely great.
So now the anniversary is coming up when?
Coming up in we'll have the anniversary dinner in May.
All right, and I'll be getting an invitation, right?
You sure will. Oh, they're a load of fun. We've always had a good time. You know, speaking of music and guitarists, last year at our dinner, Skunk Baxter was there from
really?
The Doobies and Steely Dan. He was there.
Wow, I didn't get invited to that. I hope to be invited this year.
Yeah, he may be back.
Tell us about CEI.
Well, CEI, like I said, was founded 20 years ago. We're a regulatory policy free market think tank. In other words, there are a lot of groups in Washington that spend a lot of good effort on tax and budget issues. CEI tends to focus, not always, but we tend to exclusively focus on regulatory issues. In other words, you know, I do the 10,000 Commandments regulatory
right.
survey. I work on various tech policy issues and electricity reform, telecom reform. We have folks doing biotechnology, all the range of environmental issues, you know, conservation issues, free market environmentalism, the global warming dispute, things of that sort, financial regulation. So we're heavily, heavily involved in the regulatory debate, have been for a long time. And we see ourselves as kind of vertically integrated. We just don't do analysis, but we also try to spread the ideas with advocacy, you know, doing things like getting on your show, doing testimony, a lot of outreach. To
well, you know, the
ideas.
President...
Not just to generate a lot of papers, but to try to go out and sell the free market and sell economic liberty.
The president threw you guys a little bit of a bone last night when he gave in his State of the Union speech when he talked about reducing the regulatory burden on small businesses.
He sure did. It was early in his speech. He mentioned reducing the regulatory burden. And as we've talked about before, you know, you're talking about an overall burden that is some $800 billion with hundreds of rules every year that impact small businesses. I try to do a little trend look at what's going on with small business regulation each year, and there's been a slight decline in the numbers of rules, but the problem is, you know, you can have a decline in the number of rules, but still the the rules that remain can have a major, major impact.
Well, and as an example, you're exactly right, but I'll put some numbers to this, Wayne. When I started doing this show and reporting on these issues, small business owners were paying $6,000 per employee for regulatory compliance, which was double what big businesses are paying per employee. But in 2004, this is information coming from our mutual friends over at the Office of Advocacy at the SBA, Tom Sullivan's shop over there, that number, as Chad Moutre has told us, is over $7,000 now per employee for small businesses.
Doesn't
even though the number of regs have gone down, the cost of regs have gone up.
That's right. That doesn't surprise me a bit. And as we've talked about, a lot of the problem is there's a lack of accountability for regulations. You know, a congressperson can stand up and say, in front of the Sierra Club and say, well, I voted for the family medical leave and I voted for the Clean Air Act amendments. And then he can walk across the street to the Chamber of Commerce and say, those darn agencies are out of control. You know? He can kind of play it both ways, and that's a problem. We don't have accountability. Who do we point at when these regulations get out of hand? And it can easily happen. You know, we were talking about cybersecurity issues and potential for business regulation. It can happen with financial regulations, you know, the Sarbanes-Oxley style CEO reporting,
right.
Labor regulations. I used to do a sheet, I need to do it again, of showing the regulations that start to apply to a small business as it grows. You know, when it starts from one employee and then moves
I'd
up
like
to
50. See that when you get that new one done. Be sure to let us know. We'll get you back on the show. And when is your 10,000 commandments coming back out?
I think, Jim, it's very little bit. I put it out it's a survey of trends in federal regulations, you know, from all the departments, agencies, and commissions. And I've done it each year for the past. It might be 10 years.
It's
now,
been 10 years, I think.
but I've done it each year.
You and I've been talking about it for almost 7.
Yeah, it's been a nice little tool. It's a nice way to get a snapshot because the way I look at it is the federal government ought to already be reporting this stuff to us.
Right.
I shouldn't need to, you know, go and compile these things and summarize it. But sometimes we do it around tax time,
right. So
it may be around mid-April.
I was thinking it was April or May. We're looking forward to hearing about that again. Give us your website one more time, Wayne.
It's www.cei.org.
And that stands for Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne Cruz is Vice President of Policy and the Director of Technology Studies there. He's an important and valuable member of our Brain Trust. Wayne, for all you've done for us, thank you very much.
Real pleasure, Jim. Thanks again.
We'll see you next time. Wayne Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.